Amen. All right, well, we're there in Esther, chapter number one. And of course, this morning we are beginning a brand new series, a new study in the Bible. And we are going to be going verse by verse through the book of Esther. And I'd encourage you, you're here on the first Sunday of the year, I'd encourage you to make a goal of being here every Sunday morning as we study the book of Esther. And it would be good for you to be able to go through the entire book with us together and learn from this book. And the series is called For Such a Time as This, but it is a verse-by-verse study through the book of Esther. And in this first chapter, in this first sermon or lesson in this book, we find this narrative. And the entire book of Esther is a dramatic narrative. And this is one of these chapters in the Bible that just kind of shows you that the Bible could not have been written by man, would not have been written by man. In this dramatic narrative, when you dig in, and we're going to dig in this morning, and you kind of roll back the humanity and the psychological lessons in this beautifully written story, you'll realize that God wrote this. And the reason for that, it is because this story, and it is a story, it's a narrative, shows us the innate needs of both men and women, and specifically husbands and wives. And we see in this well-articulated story just the breakdown that happens in most failed marriages. And I would encourage all of you to pay attention. I would encourage all of you to take notes. Even if you're single, this is things that you can learn for the future. But especially those of you that are married, I want you to listen up this morning as we learn what the Bible teaches in regards to kings and queens, or in regards to husbands and wives. And if you're taking notes, maybe you can jot some of these things down. But I want you to notice that the chapter begins with really telling us the secret about what, ladies, your husbands really want. And I want you to notice that Ahasuerus here is a very successful king. Esther chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says this: "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus." This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia. This is the one time, that India is mentioned in the Bible. And I want you to notice that it's mentioned because of the fact that this was a very successful king. This was a man who reigned over a big province, multiple provinces. And the Bible says over 127 provinces. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast. And I want you to notice what the Bible emphasizes here. And I'll go ahead and let you in on the secret. And if you've heard me preach this before, you won't be surprised. But I want you to understand this, ladies, because ladies, I don't know that they really understand this. Even when you say it to them, they're like, "Yes, I comprehend," but I don't know that they really understand it in their hearts. And they shouldn't, because they're ladies. And they were created, no matter what our society tells you, they were created different than men. Now, there are some things that men don't understand about women, and we'll get to that later on in the sermon as well. But here's what I want you to understand, ladies. Men, when you just get down, and sometimes I preach this, and ladies are like, "Well, I've asked my husband, and he doesn't say this." But that's because your husband doesn't say anything. That's because men stink at communication. That's because men, one of the hardest, most difficult things that I do as a pastor is trying to pull out during counseling emotions out of men, because men can't articulate their emotions, generally speaking. There are some men that are communicators, but most men have trouble identifying their emotions, much less articulating their emotions. But here is the truth. What men desire in life is reverence. You say, "I don't believe that." Men want to be honored. Men want to be looked up to. They want to be admired. They want to be the hero. You say, "My husband doesn't want that." Oh, really? That's why your husband plays sports. That's why your husband goes hunting. That's why men are into war. That's why men sometimes get, you know, unbalanced in their business lives and in their careers. Why? Because there's something in men that God put in men that they want to charge, they want to win, they want the championship, they want to succeed. This is something that God, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, this is what God put in men. You know, something in them that wants to go kill something, bring it home, feed their family. You know, this is how God created men. And even when you find Ahasuerus, one of the most successful men, the most successful man at this time in the world, notice what he does to feed this innate feeling of wanting to be honored. He throws himself a great feast in his own honor. Notice verse 3. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto, notice, all his princes. Not somebody else's princes, it's all his princes and his servants. The power of Persia and Media and the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When, notice, he showed the riches of, notice these words, his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty. Men have an innate, and I don't believe it's sinful. I do believe it can become sinful, but I believe that's something God put in men, that they should have an innate need to win, a desire to succeed, to achieve, to be honored, to be admired, to be reverenced. And to an extent, that's okay. Every dad should be the hero of his little boy. Every husband wants to be the knight in shining armor for his wife. And here we read about this Ahasuerus, verse 4 again, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 score days. Notice that. Many days is not an exaggeration. 104 score days. This guy threw himself a party to honor himself, to show everybody how much he'd succeeded, how well he had done, how much he had won in life. And this party lasted for 6 months. 180 days. The Bible says many days, even 104 score days. A score is 20. 4 score is 80. This guy throws himself a party in his own honor for 180 days, for 6 months. And then notice what he does when the party is over. Look at verse 5. Because remember, the 180-day party was for all the nobles, the princes, his servants. Then when that 180-day party is over, what does he do? He throws himself another party. Look at verse 5. And when these days were expired, the 180 days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Then he throws another party. This is a 7-day party where he invites everyone. I mean, the whole kingdom, everyone in Shushan is invited, great and small, rich and poor. He invites everybody to show off how successful he is. And look, can we just, we're at church, can we just be honest? Isn't this why you bought a house you can't afford? Isn't this why you drive a car you can't afford? Isn't this why you shop at certain stores and look down at people who shop at other stores? I mean, he takes the time to make, he wants everybody to know, I want you to know how awesome I am. Look at verse 6. Where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple and silver rings and, notice, pillars of marble. Everything in this party was designed to impress. Pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver. You say, why do you need beds for? Well, if you're throwing a party for 6 months, you're probably going to lay down somewhere. Upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black. Notice, marble. Look at verse 7. And they gave them drinks and vessels of gold. The vessels being diverse one from another. I mean, even the cups were awesome. And royal wine. Notice these words. In abundance. Notice the words. According to the state of the king. You say, why did they take the time to put up pillars of marble, gold and silver, marble, vessels of gold, vessels being diverse one from another. Why did he take the time to do all this? Because this was all a reflection in Ahasuerus, in his mind. It was all a reflection according to the state of the king. This was all a reflection of the king's success, of how well the king had done. Notice verse 8. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for the king's hand appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Then the Bible tells us about his wife, the queen, Queen Vashti. Notice verse 9. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women. So notice, Vashti's not with her husband. She's somewhere else having a different party. In the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Notice verse 10. And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he, King Ahasuerus, commanded, because that's what men do, right? Mehuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, notice verse 11, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal. Why does he call for her? He's been partying for 6 months. He threw another party for 7 days. Hasn't even been with his wife, seen his wife, been concerned with his wife. But now that it's all coming to an end, he wants to end this party just on a high, because he's been boasting this whole time. He's been bragging this whole time. He's been showing off how great he is this whole time. Then he wants to end this party with showing off his wife. Apparently, he had married a trophy wife. Look at verse 11. To bring Vashti the queen before the queen, king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Now, I want you to understand this, and I've been praying that the Lord helps me to communicate this. This story shows us an innate need in men that is not necessarily bad, but it can cross lines that are bad. There's nothing wrong. In fact, I believe that God put it in men to want to win, to want to succeed, to want to accomplish, to want to do something great. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with a husband wanting to be his wife's hero. I don't think there's anything wrong with a man wanting to be a father, wanting to be the hero of his children. And this can cross a line. And for Ahasuerus, when you're throwing yourself a six-month party in your own honor, it may have crossed the line. When you're putting yourself into debt, buying things you can't afford to show off, it may have crossed the line. But what I want you to notice is that God, in this dramatic narrative, kind of peels back this thing that's true about all men, that men want to be honored. And oftentimes, we even want to be honored through the successes of our lives, through the things we own, but oftentimes even through our family. And again, was this unhealthy that he would want to show off his wife? Some people could make that argument, but in some cases, hey, it's good for men to be proud of their wives. This is something that's even from young little boys will argue on the playground. My daddy's tougher than your daddy. Why? Because there's something in us that wants to win. There's something in us that wants to be better. And sometimes, and then you get married and you want to think, well, my wife's better than your wife. And look, I think every husband should think his wife is better than everybody's wife. But the Queen Vashti, notice verse 12, refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore, notice the word therefore. For that reason, is what that means, was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Ahasuerus is not happy. He feels disrespected, disrespected by his wife because she did not obey. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And you know what, let me just say this, and I'm not preaching on this, but just kind of going off of the sermon from Thursday night. You know, you can have all the successes of the world, and if things aren't right in your home, it'd be better to have things right in your home, Ahasuerus, Notice how he's been partying for 6 months. 7 days he's been showing off, and everybody think, look at us, yes, look at how wonderful he is, look at how everything is. But you know what? Things weren't wonderful at home. Things weren't right at home. Everybody honors him except his wife. Everybody obeys him, but he gets disrespected by his wife. And notice, it ruins everything, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is your family. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Why did Ahasuerus? Because look, here we have a man, like every man, who wants to be honored, who wants to be reverenced, respected, who wants to feel accomplished, feel like his family's proud of him. So he brings his wife to show off his wife. And look, some people would say, well, Ahasuerus, you know, that's bad. And I've been praying that God would help me, because I feel like communicating these concepts might be a little difficult sometimes. But I want you to understand, I believe Ahasuerus' heart was in his right place, I don't think he was trying to hurt his wife. He said, well, she shouldn't be showing her off. But this is what Ahasuerus thinks. He's been showing himself off. He's been showing, look how great I am. And now he brings his wife and says, let me show you off how great she is. And he's thinking as a man. He said, well, this is what I like to be honored, so shouldn't my wife want to be honored? I like to have people admire me and see how wonderful I am, so let's do that to my wife too. But she doesn't like it. She says, no, I won't come. He's disrespected because he's disobeyed. He's also disrespected because he's humiliated publicly. Notice verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for it was the king's manners toward all that knew law and judgment. And let me just say this. Be very careful about, don't go around talking about your marriage problems with people. Oh, with church people? No, nobody. If you need counsel, see a pastor, see a pastor's wife, someone that's been ordained in the ministry to help you with those things. But you don't need to go around talking to your in-laws about your problems. You don't need to go around talking to your girlfriend or your boy-guy friend at work. You don't need to be talking to other people, other men. Hey, men, you don't need to be talking to your buddies. I mean, your buddies don't talk about anything. But you don't need to be talking to your buddies or other people. Look, your marriage problems need to be something. You say, I got marriage problems. Talk to God about it, number one. And if you need help, talk to your pastor about it. Talk to your pastor's wife. Ladies, this is not something you need to be airing out. But notice what Ahasuerus does. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And next unto them was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. Now, I want to say this. In this story, they're going to end up giving him bad advice. We'll talk about that next week. Divorce and remarriage. They end up advising him to separate his wife. And by the way, let me just say this. When you talk to your worldly friends, that's probably what they're going to say too. And it's the wrong advice. But I want you to notice that even in their advice, because he's talking to his guy friends, right? Even in their advice, you see this innate need of men to want to be honored. Notice verse 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the priest, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only. I just want you to notice how men think, the innate need of men for reverence. Here's his friends. They say, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes, and to all the people that are in the providence of the king of Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands. The word despise, the way you and I use the word despise, would be like hate. That's not necessarily how our King James Bible uses the word despise. The word despise is being used here as a way of saying to devalue or disrespect. They're saying the deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all the women so that they shall despise, they shall devalue, they shall disrespect their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. And let me say this again. I don't necessarily agree with everything these guys are going to say, but some of it does show us the innate need of men. They're saying, look, they understand whether they can really communicate it or not. They can understand that men want to be honored. They want to be respected. And they're saying, look, if your wife disrespects you like this, you know, this is going to be something that's going to go down to the rest of the wives in the kingdom. And to an extent, that is correct. This is the reason why God tells pastors, you know, one of the qualifications of a pastor is that he rule well his own house. You know, the pastor's wife, and praise the Lord for your pastor's wife, but the pastor's wife is supposed to be someone who sets the example for what a godly, submissive wife, a godly woman who loves the Lord is supposed to be. And here, the queen is not setting that right example. Notice verse 17. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. Verse 18. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deeds of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered. That look, and look, what they're about to say, there's nothing, biblically, there's nothing wrong with this. We're going to look at it in Ephesians in a little bit. That Vashti, not this. This is the bad part. But what they're saying in regards to the men bearing rule. Notice, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give a royal estate to another that is better than she. That's the wrong advice. That's the separation divorce advice. We'll talk about that next week. That is the wrong advice biblically. Notice verse 20. But understand that you can see from this story this innate need of men. Because notice what they said. And when the king's decree he shall make shall be published throughout all the empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor. Now they're going about it the wrong way. But what they desire, I just want you to notice, what they want. So what do these men want? Honor from their wives. All the wives shall give their husbands honor. What does the word honor mean? High respect, great esteem, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes and the king according to the word of Memucan. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man... Notice, there's nothing wrong with what they're saying here. What they're saying is actually biblical. It's found in the Bible that every man should bear rule in his own house and that it should be published according to the language of every people. What they want is wives that are being submissive, that are honoring them, that are desiring them. And you say, well, I don't think that they should want that. Look, I'm not arguing with you whether they should or they shouldn't. I'm just telling you, this is what the secret. You've been trying to figure out your husband. What does he want? Because I keep trying to love him, and I keep trying to spend time with him. And you, what does he want? Here's the secret: reverence, honor. That's what he wants. Keep your place there in Esther chapter 1. We're going to come back to it. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. When you get to Ephesians, please keep your place there. We're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to come back and look at several verses in Ephesians chapter 5, but I want you to just notice the very end of the chapter in verse 33. Ephesians chapter 5 is the quintessential chapter in the entire Bible on marriage. There's many passages on marriage, and we could spend time looking at all of them, but if there's one passage that just kind of like lays it out, this is what a proper marriage should be like, this is what a biblical marriage should be like, Ephesians chapter 5 is it. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, dissects that and unravels that for us, and we're going to look at it in a minute. But I want you to notice at the end of the whole thing, in verse 33, when he's closing up this thought about marriage, I want you to notice how he kind of puts it all together, and here's what he says. He says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, we're going to come back to that in a minute, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I just want you to notice that when the Apostle Paul says this, when he says, look, if you missed everything, if you didn't catch it, if you missed the whole sermon, here's the whole point. Here's the application. Husbands, love your wives, and wives, reverence your husband. And if you can figure out how to do Ephesians 5:33 in your marriage, you'll have a happy marriage. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, here's what's interesting. Why doesn't God, in Ephesians 5, tell the husband to respect his wife? Does God just want men disrespecting their wives? Absolutely not. In fact, in other passages, God tells us that men should respect their wives. Let me show it to you. Keep your place there in Ephesians. Go to Titus, if you would. Titus chapter 2. You got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. In the quintessential passage on marriage, he says, look, ladies, if you hear one thing, hear this. Wives, reverence your husband. Husbands, love your wives. And somebody might ask, well, why doesn't he tell husbands to reverence the wife? And again, God's not against men showing respect to their wives. Men obviously should show respect to their wives. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says this, that they, we're going to come back to Titus chapter 2 here in a minute. But go back to Ephesians if you would. And let me show you this. The innate need of men is reverence. That's what they want. And usually, in marriage, when there's marriage problems, there's two sides, the husband and the wife. One of the things that I often try to tell wives and teach wives and help wives understand is that what your husband wants is reverence. Now, I'll let you in on, did you go back to Esther chapter 1? Did you go back to Ephesians or Esther? I apologize. Go back to Esther. Keep your place in Ephesians and Esther. Go back to Esther. Let me just develop this real quick. The secret about what your husbands want is reverence. Here's the secret about what your wife wants, guys. And you're really confused. I mean, you've been wondering about this. There's entire books written about men are from Mars and women are from Venus and whatever. Here's what your wife wants. Love. Now, when you look at the story in Esther chapter 1, you can walk away from it saying, Vashti's just this rude, disrespectful wife. And look, I believe she should have honored her husband. I believe wives should submit to their husbands. That's what the Bible teaches. I believe she should have obeyed. Some people will argue that Ahasuerus was asking her to perform some sort of a sin in his command. And obviously, if that's true, then we ought to obey God rather than men. But that's not what the passage says. The passage doesn't tell us that he asked her to do anything sinful. He just asked her to come, so he can show her off and show everybody how beautiful she is. You say, well, why is she so angry? Why is she so mad? This is the question many husbands ask. Why is my wife so angry all the time? Well, here's the thing. I don't believe that Ahasuerus did a very good job of showing his wife love. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, notice, Ahasuerus does not make his wife a priority. I've kind of already touched on this, but I want to show it to you again. Notice what Ahasuerus does for 6 months. He puts all his friends first. Esther chapter 1, verse 3. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes. That's his buddies. And all his servants. That's his buddies. And the power of Persia and Media. The nobles and princes. That's his buddies. Of the provinces. Being before him. Notice that he does not prioritize his wife. He puts his friends first. Not only does he put his friends first, he puts his career first. Look at verse 4. When he had showed the riches of, notice, his glorious kingdom. That's his business. The honor of his excellent majesty. That's his work. Many days, even 104 days. Now just think about this, guys. How happy would your wife be if you were gone for 6 months? And when you came home, where have you been for 180 days? Hanging out with my buddies. I've been working, woman! 180 days working? See, the truth is that husbands want to be reverenced, but you know what wives want? They want to feel loved. And Ahasuerus failed in making his wife feel loved by failing to making her feel as a priority when he's spending 180 days with his buddies, then throws on top of that 7 days with strangers, puts his friends first, puts his career first. Ahasuerus did not have a good relationship with his wife. Look at verse 4. He doesn't spend time with her. Verse 4, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 score days. Look at verse 5. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Notice verse 10. He only gives attention to his wife when he wants something from her. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he, King Ahasuerus, commanded Memhuhan, Birzatha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains, the seven that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, notice, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. When he wants something from her, he calls on her. When he doesn't, it stays. And look, this isn't just with Vashti. Later he divorces Vashti, marries Esther. Mordecai tells Esther, you need to go speak to the king. And Esther says, I haven't even seen him for a month. Let me let you in on a little secret. Go back to Ephesians 5 if you would. Your husband wants reverence. And wife, your wife, she wants to feel loved. Now, here's the interesting concept. Here's the interesting thing. Men try to love their wives the way they feel loved, if we can say that, which is reverence, right? Ahasuerus has been showing himself off for 180 days. So he's like, hey, let me give my wife a great honor. Let me bring her out here so you guys can see how great she is. It's not just me. Look, she's great too. Now look, if Vashti said, hey ladies, and this would never happen at a ladies' party. If Vashti said, hey ladies, let me bring my husband out here and show you all his muscles and how wonderful he is. I mean, if Ahasuerus would have got a servant saying, hey, Vashti wants you to come to, you know, her little tea party over there. She just wants to brag on you and show off how great. I mean, Ahasuerus would show her, yeah. But when the same message is communicated to Vashti, she's like, that jerk hasn't called me for 180 days. That guy's been working 17-hour days for the last 6 months. Ahasuerus thinks, I'm giving her a great honor. But she doesn't see it that way. You know what happens in marriage? People tend to want to communicate love and respect to their spouse in the way they want it. So I talk to the husband and I say, hey, listen, your wife doesn't feel like you love her. Of course I love her. I mean, I work 17-hour days and I provide this nice house for her and these cars and look at all these things I've given her. But she doesn't want that. She wants you to spend time with her. That's what you want. That's what you desire. You know what wives say? I tell you the wives. You need to give reverence to your husband. He's feeling disrespected by you. Well, of course I love him. I mean, I'm constantly trying to talk to him. He says I'm nagging him, but I just want to always be talking with him and be with him and spend time with him. But that's not what he wants necessarily. That's what you want. He wants to be honored. And I look at husbands and say, I understand you think you love your wife, but your wife doesn't feel loved. And I look at wives and say, I understand you think you're honoring your husband, but your husband doesn't feel honored. You're thinking like you're from Venus. He's from Mars, or vice versa. Ladies, your husbands need love, but you know what they really desire? Reverence. And when you are disrespectful, so what do you mean? When you insult him? When you compare him? Well, my dad never. When you complain about? Do you understand that his feeling of success is tied into what he's provided for you? And when you're constantly complaining about what he's provided for you? I'm just helping articulate what your husband is unable to articulate. When you insult him, when you compare him, when you complain about him, when you humiliate him, when you talk down to him, when you make him feel like a child, when you make him feel like he has to ask permission, like he's under your control, he's not feeling honored. And husband, when you're putting work before your wife, when you're putting friends before your wife, when you're putting vices like drugs and alcohol and pornography before your wife, when you're putting entertainment like sports and video games before your wife, when you're not spending time with them, when you're giving attention to them only when you want something from them, when you're not communicating with them, when you never talk to her, she's not feeling loved. And I'm just letting you in on a little secret. The secret is this. She doesn't necessarily want honor. Now look, should wives be honored? Go back to that passage in Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd Timothy, Titus. I'm not standing up here telling you, don't respect your wife. You should respect your wife, but you know what she really wants? She wants to feel loved. And what does it mean to feel loved? She wants to feel like she's the priority in your life. Like she's the most important thing on this earth, of course, aside from God, who's not necessarily on this earth. I'm not saying disrespect your wives. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women. I keep taking you this verse. I keep taking you the wrong verse. Let me rewind. I'm not saying, wives, that your husband doesn't need love. Your husband needs love. But what he really wants is respect. Let's read the verse so we can get out of the way. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Okay, I'm showing you that verse to show you wives are supposed to, it's not just, well, all I'm supposed to do is reverence him and not love him. No, you're supposed to love your husband, that they may teach the young women, this is talking about the age of women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You're supposed to love your husband, wives, but you know what he really wants is to be reverenced. Husband, you're supposed to reverence your wife. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you go backwards from Revelation, you have Jude, 3rd, 2nd, 1st John, 2nd, 1st Peter. Let me just get these verses out of the way. 1 Peter chapter 3. Husband, you are supposed to honor your wife. I'm not saying disrespect her. 1 Peter 3, 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also... Good night. I don't know what's wrong with my notes. Did I not put the right verse in here? I must have not put the right verse in here. I apologize for that. Anyway, there's a verse that talks about how the husband is supposed to honor his wife as the weaker vessel. That's what's messing me up. I keep looking at my notes and I'm like, where's the verse that I want? 7? 1 Peter 3, 7? Is that what it is? Good night. The year is already starting to look like 2020. Likewise, 1 Peter 3, 7, thank you. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right, now that we got those two verses out of the way, everybody understand? Wives, you should love your husband. And husbands, you should honor your wife. I'm not saying otherwise. But what your wife really wants is to feel loved. And what your husband really wants is to feel honored, is to feel reverenced, is to feel respected. Go back to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I said, number one, there's a secret about what your husband really wants, and that's reverence. I said, number two, there's a secret about what your wife really wants, and that's love. Of course, that's not to say that your husband doesn't need love and your wife doesn't need honor. But when God tells us, look, here's what you really need for a good marriage, is love and reverence, love and reverence. Husbands want reverence, wives want love. Then in Ephesians, the Bible tells us how to do that. Ephesians 5:22. You know, how can a wife give reverence to her husband? Well, notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Isn't this exactly what Vashti did fail to do? She did not submit herself to him. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in, notice these words, everything. It doesn't say in some things, it doesn't say most things, it says everything. And again, I'm not going to re-preach other sermons, but the only time that we are to disobey our earthly authority is when they ask us to sin. When they ask us to sin, then we ought to obey God rather than men. But the Bible says that wives are to be in submission to their husbands, and that means that they are to obey their husbands in everything. But it's not just obedience. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. It's also esteem. Now, let me just say something about submission real quickly. Because a lot of wives pride themselves. They think, oh, I'm a submissive wife. But it's like you're submissive except for every time that your husband has a different opinion than you do. Let me just let you in on a little secret, wife. The only way we ever know, the only way you ever know, the only way your husband ever knows if you're actually submissive is when you come to a point where you disagree with him and you submit anyway. I mean, if every time you guys just both agree, what do you think we should do in this situation? I think we should do this. Oh, I agree. I'm a submissive wife. He was doing what you wanted. The only time we actually know if you're submissive is when he wants to do something that's different than what you want to do. And if every time that happens, that ends in, that ends in, you're sleeping on the couch, I hate you. That ends in a fight and anger. Let me just let you in on a little secret. You're not submissive. Is it obedience from your children? When they obey only when, you know, we're going to the park. Great, take out the trash. No! Is it submission from your employees? If it's like, you can have the holiday off, great. I need to work late. No! Look, it's only submission. You're only submissive if you're disagreeing and you say, but you know what, you're the boss. I don't agree. I don't think it's going to work out. If you want my opinion, I'll tell you, here's my thoughts, but it's your choice. That's submission. When wives submit, they reverence their husbands. This is exactly what Vashti failed to do. He said, I want you to come over here and I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And she said, no. And he felt disrespected. There's another thing. It's through esteem. 1 Peter 3:5. After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That's the obedience. Notice also the esteem they give. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, notice, calling him Lord. Now, I'm not saying, wives, you need to go home calling your husbands Lord, all right? But you know, the word Lord in our King James Bible just means boss. She submitted by saying, okay, Abraham, you're the boss. All right, boss, whatever you want. And again, I'm not saying you need to go home calling your husband boss. I'm just saying, notice that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with amazement. Look, you say, how do I show reverence to my husband? How do I show reverence to him? You obey him. You submit to him. If he's not asking you to sin, you submit. And you esteem him. You show him esteem. You show him respect. You don't belittle him. You don't talk down to him. You don't act like he's an idiot. You're not mean to him. Well, what do husbands do? Go back to Ephesians 5. Look at verse 25. Wives give reverence through submission and through esteem. Husbands show love through sacrifice and selflessness. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Okay, well, hold on. He says, let me explain to you how I want you to love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, wait a minute, what? Husbands, I want you to love your wives the same way that Jesus loved the church. Well, how did Jesus love the church? He sacrificed himself for it. So you say, how do I make my wife feel loved? When you as the leader have to make a decision and either you win or she wins and you sacrifice yourself for her to win. You know, that'll show her love. Yeah, it'll make her feel like you're important, like she's important. Like she's a priority. But I'm the boss! be the boss all day long all by your lonesome. I'm the leader. Well, if you're on a walk and no one's following you, you're just on a walk. See, the Bible teaches servant leadership. Now, servant leadership doesn't mean you go home and do the dishes. Although every once in a while, when your wife's not feeling well, guys, it wouldn't hurt you to do the dishes. It doesn't mean you go home and do the laundry. It doesn't mean you go home and do everything you're supposed to do. But you know what it does mean? It means that you lead for her benefit. It means that you lead for the benefit of your children. Servant leadership means that we lead. As a pastor, what is my job? My job is not to do what the staff does. I pay the staff to do what the staff's supposed to do. But you know, as a leader, I should lead for their benefit. I should esteem them better than myself. I should esteem my wife better than myself. I should esteem my children better than myself. Jesus sacrificed himself for the church. He died for the church. If someone had to lose, he said, I'll lose so that you can win. And you know what we feel from Jesus? Love. My wife doesn't feel love. You probably haven't been sacrificing. Staying out late with your buddies isn't sacrificing. And because men are hard-headed and they have trouble understanding things, then God says it again in a different way. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives. Paul, I kind of chuckle when I read this. Paul's like, you love your wife like Christ loved the church. And men are like, what? And he's like, okay, maybe that was a little too spiritual. Let me bring it down a level. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He says, love your wife through sacrifice and love your wife through selflessness. He says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And a lot of men are like, I don't know what that means. Okay, here's something you can understand. Love your wife the way you love yourself. Because you understand that. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. When wives, when they submit and they esteem, they show reverence, which is what your husband wants. When husbands sacrifice and are selfless, they show their wives love, which is what their wife wants. Now let me let you in on just a little secret to the marriage you want. Say, well, Pastor, so far you've told me the secret about what my husband wants, but I don't really care what my husband wants. I'm over here feeling ignored and feeling, you know, like I'm not his priority, like he doesn't care. Why should I care what my husband wants? And then guys are like, you know, you're telling me what my wife wants, but I don't care what my wife wants. I'm over here feeling humiliated and insulted. I don't care what my wife wants. Why would I care? Well, let me let you in on the secret to the marriage you want. I think when you got married, you probably wanted a good marriage, right? Nobody gets married on the day of their marriage and says, my goal is for us to be divorced in 60 days. I think when you got married, you wanted to be with this person. You wanted to have a good marriage. So let me let you in on a little secret. Here's the secret, okay? When wives give reverence to their husbands, they get love in return. When husbands give love to their wives, they get reverence in return. My wife shows me no respect because you're not making her feel loved. I don't understand. I work long hours and support her. Yeah, exactly. My husband won't show me love. It's because you're not showing him reverence. Well, I try to spend time with him, but then he's gone, and then I call him names. Exactly. When wives give reverence, they get love. When husbands give love, they get reverence. Here's the secret to marriage. Give him or her what she wants, and she'll give you or he'll give you what you want. Show him reverence. Show her love. Make her the priority. Sacrifice for her. Be selfless. Stop putting yourself first. Put her first and see what happens. I don't think that'll work. Well, look, the Bible. This is what the Bible says. In my home, we have this running joke. I have this joke with the kids. The running joke is that I never tell my wife no. We have this joke with the kids. Daddy never says no to mommy. And of course, that's not true. I say no to her plenty of times. But you know, the honest truth is I try to say yes to my wife as much as possible. But my wife's not an idiot either. You know, this is how it works in our home. My wife will come up to me after, you know, after lunch today. She'll put her hand on my shoulder and say, "Honey, that was a wonderful sermon this morning." Thank you, honey. No, nobody preaches through a dramatic narrative in the Bible like you do. Thank you, honey. What do you want? Can I get this from Amazon? Sure. Isn't there a phrase, you catch more flies with honey? But I'm just trying to help you out, ladies. You're constantly saying, you're like your husband, "You're a loser, you're an idiot, you're ugly." And he's like, "Joke's on you, you married me." Can I buy this from Amazon? No! I'm just trying to help you out here. Why is my wife so angry? Just, are you ignoring her? Look, guys, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But maybe you should ask this question. Am I making you feel like the priority in my life? And be ready for the answer. No, husband, if you'd listen to me, you'd realize that I feel like you put sports before me. I feel like you put video games before me. I feel like you put your hobby before me. I feel like you put your business before me. I'm not feeling very loved, which is why you're not getting a lot of respect. I'm just trying to help you. The secret to getting what you want in marriage is giving your spouse what they want. Now, here's the thing. I'm not promising you this will happen in an afternoon. It might take days, might take weeks, might take months, might take years. It all depends how long you've been on that crazy cycle you call marriage. But I will just say this. Why not try it? I mean, why not try it? Why not say, you know what? I'm just going to love my wife sacrificially and selflessly, no matter how much she disrespects me, no matter how much she makes me feel inadequate, no matter how much she complains and compares what I have done or what I haven't done. I'm just going to love her like Christ loved the church, like I would love myself sacrificially. I'm just going to do it for as long as possible to see if it works. Look, why don't you say, I'm just going to reverence my husband. I'm just going to honor him. I'm just going to admire him. I'm going to make him the hero of my life. And see if he quits hiding in the corner of the housetop and wants to spend time with me. Isn't it worth trying? What you're doing isn't working. What the world tells you to do. No, it's 50-50. There's no boss. She's as much as the boss as you are. Okay, that's why we have 70% divorce rate in America. That's not working. Why don't you just try what the Bible says? Why don't you just give it a try? But let me just say this, and I'll end with this. Even if it doesn't work, I believe it works. We have a church filled with marriages that work because they've done this. I believe it works. Here's a lesson for you, ladies. Men have fragile egos. Quit stepping all over it. Here's a lesson, men. Ladies have fragile emotions. They're called the weaker vessel. Quit stepping all over it. If you feel disrespected, just know this. Just hear me. If you feel disrespected, you are not. You say, "I love her." Okay, but you're not making her feel loved. If you feel unloved, wife, if you feel unloved, just know this. You're making your husband feel disrespected. You're on a crazy cycle, and one of you needs to get off. And it'd be great if both of you got off. But let me just say this. You say, "I don't think it'll work." Okay. Even if it doesn't. Husband, you are obligated to love your wife, period. Amen. It doesn't say love your wife as long as she... It doesn't say that. It says you love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And wife, you are biblically obligated to show reverence and to be in submission to your husband, whether it works or not. But I promise you this. If you try it, it'll work. So how can you say it? Because the Bible works. Because God works. Because even in this dramatic narrative, When you roll back the psychological issues, you find that at the end of the day, God knows best about everything. And here's what God says for your marriage. He says in Ephesians 5:33. We already saw it, but let's look at it again. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And if you don't do it, you'll end up like Ahasuerus and Vashti. Separated, divorced. We'll see that in our next part of this series. What the Bible says and what God thinks about divorce and remarriage. Let's bow our head tonight, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for every marriage in this room. Every husband and every wife. Lord, help them to be willing to try it. I know we live in a society that says submitting to your husband is archaic. But what the world tells about marriage doesn't work. The Bible works. Lord, I pray you'd help every husband here to realize the innate need of his wife is to feel loved, to feel prioritized, to feel like we're willing to sacrifice for them, to feel like we're selfless in our love for them. And the innate feeling of every husband is to be honored and reverenced. And would to God that every one would learn what their spouse wants and also begin to get what they want. Lord, help us have happy marriages. Help us have strong homes. Help us to develop homes in this church that bring honor and glory to your name. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.